On the latest edition of the Around the NFL podcast, we talk about the Dalton Scale, where we decide which quarterbacks are true franchise passers and who has no shot of ever going to a Super Bowl with that quarterback in tow.
It's the only show you need. Click pause on what you're doing right now and get it over to our show.
Get your life together.
Hi and hello, listener. Dan Helly, Handsome Hank, here in Studio 66. Much to get to. Let's start off with this. Dan Helly, your beloved Washington Capitals, fell in Game 6 in overtime to my Pittsburgh Penguins. What's the worst loss you have ever suffered as a fan?
I hearken back to the Washington Nationals when they were playing the St. Louis Cardinals, winner-take-all, Game 5 of the NL Divisional Series. The Nats up by 6 runs. I sent out a tweet, let's book your tickets to the championship series now.
Ooh,
Cards came back to win it 9-7. I was the biggest DC jinx in history.
I think that is exactly right. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I harbored hopes of the Miami Dolphins making a Super Bowl in, I think it was 93. They played against the Bills in an AFC championship game. And because of, at the time, watching a game from the UK was pretty difficult to do. So I had to lean out of a window listening to a radio of the Armed Forces Network's coverage of that game, which was interrupted by inexplicably by a woman singing in Spanish. They lost. And it was a horrible experience. 29-10 was the final.
Sad and sad, but wrong and wrong. The correct answer is the AFC title game in '04, nay, January of '05. The 15-1 Pittsburgh Steelers, led by rookie Ben Roethlisberger, trying to do something that's never happened before or since. And on that day, as it turned out, they couldn't do it either. Get a rookie quarterback taking his team to a Super Bowl. They fell to the hated New England Patriots for the second time in 3 years in a title game. Sickening stuff. That was the one that,
you're right.
That
now
really
you say
broke
it,
my heart.
Thank
you.
As well.
Thank you for agreeing.
I just love hearing him say ought.
Ought.
Next up, Christian Hackenberg has chosen to wear the number 5. Meantime, Ryan Fitzpatrick, nowhere to be found. He's a free agent. He isn't the property of the New York Jets. I suggest Christian Hackenberg start wearing the number 14 to show everybody in the locker room who's the boss. What's the best number for a quarterback to wear in the NFL, Handsome Hank?
Two answers. If you are an athletic running quarterback, the number 11 is the right number. Hmm. If you are a guy that likes to throw the ball around, 13 is the correct number.
Ah, 13. Love for Marino. How say you, Helly?
I say 7. Nice, clean lines. Keep it simple, whether you're a running quarterback or you're a pocket passer. I go back to Joe Theismann. Love watching him play. He was number 7. Number 7.
It looks like a guy throwing it.
No, what number 7 looks like, Helly gets the correct answer this time. The number 7 is the best number to wear in any of the 4 major sports, if you think about it. If you're a high-scoring winger in the NHL, if you're a slugger in baseball playing first base, that's a cool number. Basketball, it looks slick. And like you say, quarterback 7. You know what's cool about it? If you kind of blur your eyes, it kind of looks like an arrow pointed upward. That's where you're taking things, you know?
I like how you look at
7. Yeah, that's right. I have a sunny disposition. Second best answer is the number 12. Next and last, before we begin the show here in the hurry up, I find it intriguing. On my way in, I was driving next to a guy who was going too slowly. He was smoking one of those overly ornate vape stick things, you know, with the plumes of smoke. You see him standing outside places of business and hipster restaurants. Is there a greater disparity in our society right now between how cool that guy thinks he looks versus how the rest of us regard him? Dan Helly, how say you?
Wow. That's a great question. I can't think of one right off the bat, but I see where you're coming from with the old vape pens, because you see them all over Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Handsome Hank.
I think the same guy, but it depends on the beard he's sporting. If he's got a very thick, long, I'm not referring to your beard, Dave. It's beautiful, but you know, the bigger the beard and the vape, then the less cool you are.
Well, I'll throw one possibility out there. It's these people who are going out there in the sports world and trying to conjure arguments about why Steph Curry shouldn't be the MVP. That guy thinks he's clever. The rest of us think he's a dope. All right, start the show! Yes, welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by buy McDonald's all day breakfast. It's a great world in which we live. They'll even serve the guy with the vape stick there.
Really?
But don't be smoking that thing around my breakfast. Don't. No. If I'm eating a hash brown and it's 4 p.m. in the afternoon, that's my business. But I'm not going
to
have
new laws starting to be passed about the old vape pens.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware.
They're going to start being considered actual cigarettes.
I don't see why they wouldn't be. It's the same deal, right?
I guess.
No, it's not as much smoke.
It smells a little different. I don't think it's quite as strong as an actual cigarette.
It is plumes of smoke. Yeah. You're right. Hey, real quick, let's say you can, little business, we appreciate, we request that you go and subscribe on iTunes, make a comment, tell your pals, do all that stuff, do it on Stitcher if you wish, or consume at NFL.com/podcasts. And like we do with our second podcast every week, it is consumable on video. You can find it again, NFL.com/podcast, or go on YouTube. We give you a segment or two each time, plus the full show. We appreciate you giving that a look. Dan Helley, of course, you can watch on Total Access 5 days a week. He's the face of NFL media, and no wonder with those baby blues. Handsome Hank, today's a banner day for you as well, because your pal Bo Ringer got the umlaut.
The umlaut.
You coveted the umlaut for another man, and now you've been rewarded.
I am. I'm thankful for him. The last umlaut in the NFL, do you know, Dave?
I read it, and I don't remember what I saw.
Tom Newton played guard for the St. Louis Rams. Didn't spell it like Nate Newton. It was N-U with an umlaut on, T-E-N.
Is this an umlaut?
It's two dots on top of a letter, normally a vowel.
Umlaut. Some of the coolest things in name on the back of the jersey history. Bucky Brooks, our pal, had to have his full name spelled out.
What a diva.
Yeah, no, it's not diva. There was another, I think there was, I can't remember the
Bill
other
Brooks.
Guys. Bill Brooks.
Bill Brooks. So
in fact, it seems like, wow, what an homage to you, Bucky. No, it's because the other guy wasn't going to go Bucky Brooks.
That's the coolest thing. I mean, it was for a year anyway.
The three?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've said it before. Why didn't RG3, why doesn't he now wear the number 3? In fact, it should be a Roman numeral 3.
Right.
That would be a cool look.
That would be pretty awesome. Not so clean, though. A little too chunky for a quarterback.
Exactly,
yeah.
Especially it would for an athletic one. Well, like weigh him down.
It would be distinctive, though, at the very least.
It would be distinctive. Yeah.
I also suggest, you know what the coolest move of them all would be? The Oakland A's back in the late 60s, early 70s, in the midst of their heyday, would wear nicknames on the back of their jerseys. You know, like I think I'm trying to think of I think Catfish is one of them. Vida Blue was Vida on the back of his, even though that's his first name. I think the coolest move going forward is to say, I'm so famous, I don't want my name on the back. That's the so-called baller move of them all.
Who are you, Penn State?
No, yeah. I'm the only one on the team. I'm so famous, I don't even need. Of course,
you. Everyone else has a name.
You already know who I am. I'm not going to tell you.
That's like a very Sheck move.
I actually love that idea. That's brilliant. Everybody knows you anyway. You don't need your name on the back of the jersey.
I know. Don't you see that that's the coolest move? But I think we can all agree that the Christian Hackenberg move would be the coolest.
Yeah,
I'm taking 14.
Why not?
Hey, if Fitzpatrick comes back, that's his business. He can take 15 for all I care. But I got this number now going forward. I also once told Chandler Harnish, was that his name? Mr. Irrelevant, drafted by the Indianapolis Colts the same year that they took Andrew Luck, the year after Peyton Manning departed for Denver. I advised him to come out for the first day of practice in number 18. He didn't take that advice, and now I don't know where he is.
Cousin of Pete Harnish, by the way.
Peyton Manning had a bit of a monkey on his back, I feel like, before
he had
winning
number 18.
Well, before he – yeah, right. Well, no, the monkey was obscured
the
18. Right, yeah, a little bit, figuratively at least. I think that some of us, myself included, obviously said, Peyton, if he wants to be in that conversation for best of all time, you got to have a couple of rings. The ring count does matter a little bit. It's not the only thing, but it does matter.
No, it matters a lot.
Right. Well, I agree. That's a conversation for another time. Steve Young – was also considered to have a monkey on his back because after taking over for Joe Montana, something that remains controversial to this day in San Francisco, he had that figurative monkey on his back. And when he vanquished the San Diego Chargers with, what, 6 touchdown passes or was it 7? 6.
I believe it was 6.
In that game, it was 6.
I think it was 6. Anyway, Gary Plummer famously did this. This always has resonated for me.
Someone take the monkey off my back, please.
Oh, it was that gorilla. It's gone forever.
And that begs the question now, who has the monkey on his back and who needs to get rid of it the most going into 2016? Let's put our little list here together. And, of course, a reminder, they only give out one Lombardi trophy a year. So most of the people we name here will remain lost in the wilderness.
That's right.
With a bunch of monkeys chasing them around.
Reminder, they also hand out multiple monkeys.
Yeah, they
every
do.
Every year.
That's right.
Monkeys everywhere.
They're only,
One Super Bowl.
Big barrel of monkeys get dumped all over you if you don't win the Lombardi. Or maybe it's a lower standard for some of the people that we might come up with here. I'm going to start with you, Helly. Who needs to get the monkey off his back?
Well, there's a couple of obvious ones here. I'll start with Andy Dalton. Never won a playoff game. Didn't have that opportunity last year. So now the Cincinnati Bengals have two quarterbacks who have never won a playoff game in A.J. McCarron and Andy Dalton. The next one probably isn't going to be on the top of a lot of people's lists, but I think Aaron Rodgers, to a certain extent now,
that's a good one.
Has a monkey on his back after the way he performed last year, which was still well above the league average, but far below what we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers without Jordy Nelson on the field. He was a different quarterback.
I'm going to put a little line of distinction here. I think there are two separate lists, and they're fairly close cousins here. Aaron Rodgers, absolutely, going into 2016, if he reaches the end of the season and doesn't achieve something, and for him the standard is a Lombardi trophy, I think. I mean, not for every single guy that we'll name, but I think certain guys need to do something special, elevate their game, elevate individually or the team, or else there are going to be some changes. There's going to be a stink. The narrative that people don't like talking about, but the narrative on Aaron Rodgers is really going to start gaining some momentum. Like, wow, this guy, for all his things, I mean, he's getting a little older now, and he only has that one ring, and what's going – you know, that question will – and the Mike McCarthy part of it and all of that is going to really come into the white hot light if they don't make a deep, deep play.
Well, and for 3 years, we were calling Aaron Rodgers the best all-around quarterback in football. That narrative has been altered after last season.
No excuses with Jordy Nelson returning, Ace Felter, Eddie Lacy. By the way, I thought of that. I heard somebody talking about his weight loss yesterday, and I thought, shouldn't he now, on the back of his jersey, it should be
X.
Eddie Lacy.
See, P90X.
Lacy. Get it? L-E-S-S?
Yeah, okay.
I get it.
Keep it moving.
Not great.
I thought that was nice. Handsome, you have a name you'd like to float here. Who's got the monkey?
Well, I'm.
Have monkey sound effects while we're doing this, too.
Okay, my guy actually may not be a monkey. It may be a gorilla just because of the size and breadth of his back. But I think J.J. Watt risks potentially going down in history as maybe the greatest defender of all time, but really not making a whole lot of impact on the postseason.
That's an interesting thought.
So I'm going to put it there. I know we're still early on in the Watt years, but there will come a time where he may have a decision to make, you know, at the end of a contract somewhere, you know, a fair way down the line. If the Texans don't make much progress into the playoffs, and who knows with Brock Osweiler if that's going to be happening.
It's just so different with a position player than a quarterback.
Right.
The win total isn't attached.
I know, but then when you're talking, when he could conceivably 5-10 years from now, we could be talking about, is this the best player, best defensive player of all time, or potentially in that sort of conversation for the best player of all time? And without some kind of a pretty deep playoff run or a Super Bowl, it's hard to make that.
Well, it's funny. First of all, back to Helly's point, Andy Dalton. I'm going to install at number one in a tie, though, with his head coach, Marvin Lewis. We've talked about him ad nauseum here. And, you know, I get the pushback that I get from people who say, well, look at what the Bengals were before Marv arrived. Nevertheless, he's had that job for a very long time, and they have a stacked roster, you know, that he largely composed. He had a big hand in putting that thing mm-hmm. together. But still, 0-7 in the postseason. What is this? He's going into his 14th year, is that right, as the head coach? Yep. And he's never won a playoff game. Those two need to get off the schneid. They hold the number one spot just ahead of, at number two, 36-year-old Tony Romo. Fair or not?
100% fair.
Yeah.
You think it's fair for him
fair.
I know he's not going to have a defense again this year, or the pieces don't look to be there for them to have a dominant defense, but – you know, Zeke Elliott now behind that offensive line, Dez Bryant back healthy, Jason Witten long in the tooth himself. This is win now, and if they don't win now, I wouldn't be surprised if they have to. There was talk before the draft that Jerry was looking to replace some, or at least to find his
successor.
His successor.
Well, I think that if you can just have an average defense in Dallas and they can return to what they did a couple of years ago, right, with DeMarco Murray and chew up the clock and use Dez Bryant and use Witten to move the chains, and you have Zeke there. By the way, you got two other pretty solid running backs as well.
That's
the most
crazy
loaded backfield in the National Football League.
Yep.
There's no reason that this team shouldn't advance to the postseason and win a playoff game or two. And if they don't, then who does that fall on? The one-loss record's always attached to the quarterback.
In that division with Philly, D.C., and the Giants are going to be players. I think they're going to be very good this year. But I think the Dallas, as we get closer and closer, the more excited people are going to get about what that offense might end up being. They're going to be the favorite going in. And so the monkey on Romo's back, it remains there, even though last year is more or less a throwaway.
It's definitely on his back, but in some sense it's on Jerry Jones's back as well at this point, because what he hasn't addressed yet is that backup quarterback spot. And at age 36, we know that he's probably going to need someone to be a solid backup for Romo, because otherwise it doesn't really matter who, everything else, because you can't just turn it over to a Dak Prescott.
Well, you say Jerry. I mean, Jerry can pay to have that monkey taken off his back. I think it's more so on Jason Garrett. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, Garrett has to win.
Yep.
Because mediocrity has reigned in Dallas for a long, long time, and he's going to have to win.
Yep.
They've got a lot of a big stay of execution, sort of, from the Dez Bryant, was that a catch or not, in Lambeau. I mean, everybody has completely rewritten that whole thing. All that would have done was tie the game against Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers would have gotten the ball. There's a chance they wouldn't have won that game, but everybody's declared, well, they would have been in the Super Bowl if they would have made the right call there. That's a little bit optimistic for my set. So Romo is second on this list. At number three, I'm going Carson Palmer here. I mean, he's older now. That team is another one. People thought that they might be able to handle the Panthers. Instead, he got humiliated. I think the monkey coming into the season is massive, how he responds, and they start at home against the Patriots. Eek.
That's a great number three.
Yeah, that's a
because
good
one. Carson Palmer needed to check himself after that game, because he wet the bed. It was terrible. And the thing was, when you go back and look at his resume, that was the most important game he had ever played in.
Yep.
So despite all that he has achieved, he has not been on that stage in a long, long time. And I don't know if his nerves, I don't know what it was, but we saw that he was not the Carson Palmer that we're used to seeing him.
I love that he has announced since then that, hey, that's just one of those things that you've got to wash off and move on. No, I don't have to. You do, Carson. Let's see if you can do it. On a team that a lot of people are going to pick to make a Super Bowl run once again, Palmer is a big X factor there, and if he fails at all, I don't even know what the Cardinals do at backup. I thought they might go Cardale Jones. That was a lot of the buzz that they might take a look at him. At number four, massive year for this guy. A lot of people surprised he still has his gig. Jeff Fisher, handsome.
Yep, that's a good one. But I mean
he's gone if they don't win, right?
For him, is the monkey getting to double-digit wins? Because that's so rare with him. Like that.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Exactly.
With the Rams. Yeah.
Exactly.
At number five, Matt Stafford. No Calvin Johnson, no security blanket, a chance to break out and be his own man. But
where's the expectation level for Matthew Stafford?
There are plenty of mediocre quarterbacks who retired without going to a Super Bowl. Matt Stafford's going to be one of those guys.
He's the first overall pick with a rifle. He's getting paid a lot of loot. He's got time for him to show up already.
Yeah, but I don't think the expectation is there from anyone.
I got one for you. Well, certainly the expectation level in Atlanta is higher than it is
in
Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Look at who I have at number six, Matt Ryan.
Oh, we're so good.
I just think that Dan Quinn buys them one more year, and then I think at the end of this year for Dan Quinn, people better say, all right, already two. When are you going to do something here? Yeah. You've only had your entire career with two of the best receivers in the league. I know Roddy White no longer that, but still. And then to round it out, I put Cam down because I think he's going to have his detractors. People say, you remember what happened to him in the big game, which is wildly overstated in my book. But, the entire season is just going to serve as prelude to seeing him in the postseason again for the haters out there.
I think he should be higher. Not because really? not based on the fact that he played badly in the Super Bowl, because I don't really believe that it was him. But just because he's a guy, he's at the level, he's at the MVP level, the expectations for him are much higher than they are for a Matt Stafford.
Well, he's now the bar is now set for Cam Newton, and it's set really high. I don't know that he can duplicate what he did last year, even though he's going to be getting Kelvin Benjamin back. So, yeah, you could certainly make that argument that he's three or four on the list.
Last one, monkey on the back, an entire team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, or as handsome's people say, Jaguars.
Correctly.
Jaguars. The Jags, six of their – I mean, I know they stink, and there are other teams that have stunk, like the Raiders for a long stretch, and the Browns are a punchline, and so on. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are a special kind of atrocious in the 21st century. In six of the last seasons, they've had the third or fourth worst record – or they finished third or fourth in the crummy AFC South, six out of seven seasons, and in that other season, they went 500. They have not – they only touched eight wins once out of 7 years. I mean, that stinks. They better do something as stacked as they are with all the pieces they've added.
They do have a lot of great pieces. They are young, really young on the defensive side of the ball. I just love that they gave that coaching staff another year. I mean, it's all or nothing in Jacksonville right now.
That's right.
You have to get – I think you have to make the playoffs.
I think
they have to get nine wins. I don't know. What's the Mendoza?
I think they have to make the playoffs. Yeah, I think Gus Bradley specifically, like you say, Helly, you got to run, go do your fancy TV stuff. Let me list off for you because I put together a little. I scratched them out in highlighter, as our viewers can see here.
Whoa.
Here are the guys who think they're going to be regarded much worse if they don't do something better than they've already done to this point in their career. At number one, Andrew Luck. I mean, that train's already leaving the station now. Like, hey, when's this guy going to do something already? When's he going to, you know, this thing like, just redshirt him. Hey, the AFC South got a lot redshirt the entire year for Indianapolis in 2015. Luck was hurt. And it's just everybody forgives the whole season. Well, now the South is going to be tough. And, I mean, all four of those teams could win the division. Andrew Luck better do something special, or else people are really like, all right, his career's half over. What's he done?
We had a chat on the show yesterday. Pick any quarterback to build your team around right now. Three guys, none of them picked Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I mean, and that conversation's moved on a lot from a year ago.
Oh,
where,
completely
where
changed.
Probably three guys would have all picked him.
I mean, all right.
I mean, everyone picked him as the MVP last year.
They've built up that offensive line. They have the receivers and so on. Time to do it, Lucky. Next up, real quick, I go with Ndamukong Suh and Ryan Tannehill. They better both do something too, or there are going to be changes there in Miami. Gus Bradley, like we mentioned. How about Rex and Rob teaming up in Buffalo? That seems like a cute story now, but if that thing doesn't yield at minimum nine wins.
You
got to
have more than 9 wins. With that defense coming in the way that he talked last year, you got to have more than 9 wins.
Enough with the show, all right? It's cute. I think it's charming, you two heavyset kids of Buddy. But, all right, how about it equals something more than fun press?
It's going to equal some great cutaways during games.
Yep.
Cutler, forever on this list. In fact, we could call it the Jay Cutler Award. He's going to basically make it his whole career and be very, very wealthy and have achieved very little. Sean Payton and Drew Brees are on the list. That era ends if they don't do something.
I don't think so. I think he just signed a new, like, 6-year contract.
I know, but it's
Sean
ridiculous.
Payton did. Yeah.
It's ridiculous what's happening there. That team's been
sort
of quietly very bad the last couple of years, and Drew Brees is old now. Brock Osweiler, all that loot, all the pieces they brought in through the draft and free agency, he better do it. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. How about Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom? No more Marshawn Lynch. You know, it's tough.
I think they've got a couple more years before they,
do they
make that list.
Well, Thomas Rawls was a nice addition last year. I think so.
Right, but they better do it. Russell Wilson is the man on that offense. He better do something.
Jimmy
Graham, all that stuff.
It's close enough to
– I don't think he has to win
Super
a Super Bowl.
Appearances.
Yeah.
Not win a Super Bowl, but they better make a deep run, though. They really – that this
right, you're holding people to quite a level.
Watch out.
Level.
I didn't say a Super Bowl for them, but they better do that. Super that is
they're,
sort of
they,
a,
they're two they're a
well,
year
Tannehill and Sue better
– Super Bowl.
Tannehill and Sue, they'll need to win the Super Bowl, but they better – make a run at the division.
Do something. Right.
make a run at the division. You got the Bills. You have the Patriots. They're not going to make a run at the division.
All right, then goodbye, Ryan Tannehill. It's been a long time already for
possibly,
you, man.
Yeah.
And Ndamukong Suh, if our team is structured with you taking that big a hit at defensive tackle, then that's not a good formula, right. And we should move on from that, too.
Suh on his way out before I see Tannehill on his way out.
They will draft competition. Tannehill hasn't had any competition the whole
if
time.
If he has a good
here,
season, though, all will be forgiven. He has good receivers now with Parker. I think
and with Gase.
By the way, Tannehill has gotten better every single year before this past season.
That's true.
And lastly, Teddy Bridgewater.
This is a great one, okay, because the guy made the Pro Bowl over my man Kirk Cousins with
Everybody made the Pro Bowl.
14 touchdown passes. He averaged 182 passing yards a game. This is a passing league now. I know you have AD in the backfield, but Teddy Bridgewater has to make that next step because this is a really good football team.
They're loaded.
They have Moritz Boehringer right now.
That's right, with the umlaut.
Let's
not ever rank people on whether they made a Pro Bowl or not.
Again. No, I'm just going
I didn't quite understand
why he was selected and not Kirk Cousins. It bothered
me. Because he was available. I mean, that's.
You think Kirk Cousins wasn't available?
He was probably like, I've got some TV stuff.
He was very available. I know
really?
That for a fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me just say a couple of things real quick. We have the Game of Thrones Fantasy League draft, the results that we're going to review for you. We have a couple other things we want to kibitz about here, including a new segment, The Moment of Pigskin, that we're going to launch. You know, the Daily Show has its moment of zen. We have our moment of pigskin, which is looking back at an original broadcast.
Pigskin.
Pigskin.
It's a little bit of a reach, but we pulled an original broadcast that would please Helly and Handsome Hank. We're going to look at that to close the show out.
But Helly's not going to be here.
Right now, though, we're going to start a new segment with new pal Kyle Long. Before we do that, though, Handsome, you wanted to pitch a segment idea to Dan Helly.
You got time for this? I've been trying to pitch this for a long time.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm only 5 minutes late for
This is a segment that will be on NFL Total Access named...
I don't get the heat. Handsome gets the heat. Handsome had to do something.
Oh, this is a Total Access segment.
It's a Total Access
Are you
segment.
Doing it?
I'm going to put... No, for you.
Okay.
It's named Elephant in the Room, where you talk about something that people aren't willing to talk about. You know, there are plenty of stories around the NFL that we probably cover up. So this is your opportunity, like maybe once a week. Hey, it's time for Elephant in the Room. And then you look very serious... eyes to camera, and you tell the story that people just aren't talking about. To a freak.
Radioactive stuff for everybody except superhero Dan Helly.
Right. It's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
Hellyphant.
Hellyphant.
It's like like you would be the one who addresses Brian Urlacher's hair plugs
before anyone else.
But worse than that. Way worse than that. Way darker stuff than that.
I think it's brilliant. I'm going to pitch it to the executive producer right now as soon as I walk down.
Okay. Go ahead. Dan Helly. Like we say, he is one of our favorites here, and appreciate it. I was running a little late today. So
really?
Thank you, fellas. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Look at see? everything's sunshine.
Apparently you
Dan
didn't
Helly.
Want to keep All Dan right. Helly.
Here
waiting,
comes
especially
our,
Dan Helly.
You know what? We have a long wait until the next meaningful football game kicks off, and I'm just killing time until that season, till that day arrives here. So let us begin our new segment here, Killing Time Until the Season Starts with Sheck. Our guest this week, the great Kyle Long of the Chicago Bears.
What's the story? Because everybody seems to I don't think there's anybody who hasn't gotten in any real trouble in life, you know, Cutler. But man, he gets a lot of scorn from Football America because of the way his face sits, right? It's as simple as that. He doesn't smile or he doesn't yell at people or anything, so people feel him.
He's always thinking, he's always calculating. It's like, what was the movie with Ben Stiller where he's everything is like risk where he has everything lined up for the risk, and don't do that.
Wait, is that a long call? Is that a Long Came Polly?
Is it a Long Came Polly?
I don't remember. I was.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
So basically, Jay's one of those super smart people that is at all times thinking and evaluating situations. And whereas I don't stop to think sometimes, I just talk. He can stop and be kind of pensive sometimes, and people take that as off-putting. I don't think people are used to a guy as cerebral as Jay in a football huddle. He's one of my best friends. He's somebody that I trust, but at the same time, you got to get to know Jay. He doesn't have a Twitter account or Instagram, so people don't have that human connection with him. They just see him on the field.
He seems to, he strikes me as a sneaky, funny guy. True?
Very funny, very funny. Snarky, and kind of curmudgeon-y at times, but in like a funny, like old man kind of way. You know, I thought the guy hated me my rookie year, but turns out he really likes me, and that's just his way of endearing himself to me.
What do you think about thrones? Who's going to get the Iron Throne when it's all said and done?
You know, I'm not going to put any spoilers out there as to what's going on in the new seasons so far, but I will say that it's taken some turns that I really didn't see coming. I'd say Bran Stark probably has some skin in the game here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with
our buddy Jon Snow. And Arya's the daredevil now, all of a sudden.
Yeah, and she's got to learn how to fight again. That's all I'm going to say. She's going to learn how to fight again.
Well, that's Daredevil. That's his story. They just they took that straight out of the Marvel comic.
Me and Cutler were watching that the other night.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So you and Jay Cutler get together to watch Thrones.
We have pizza and rotisserie chicken and Game of Thrones night.
Just the two of you?
Yeah.
Cutler says goodbye to the family.
Well, he puts them to bed, you know, because he's got small ones, so they go to bed. And
I'll be over Kyle Long in a minute. I'm going to swing by the pizzeria and the chicken place.
Yeah,
chicken and pizza.
I actually went to Whole Foods and swiped their ready-made pizza because I didn't plan ahead and, like, call the pizza in.
I love that story.
And they were kind of, like, snotty about the fact that I took the whole pie. I was like, can I take the whole pie? He's like, $18. I was like, gosh, Whole Foods, man. I don't know if I'm coming back.
In Chicago? The you don't do whatever you please?
I mean, the guy just wanted to get off and go home, I think.
I think you just ended his night early. All right, now the pizza's gone. There's nothing more.
Yeah.
Hang up. See you tomorrow, customers, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Killing time. I know you couldn't hear it, Handsome. For whatever reason, the audio in here.
I can lip read.
Oh, you are a lip reader. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. That discussion about Game of Thrones and how he likes to eat pizza with Jay Cutler and watch Game of Thrones, I think that's a fun thing.
I think that's fun the way they kill their time
right.
together. Cutler, exactly. It's like, yeah, they're like, you know, I'm leaving Kristen and the kids at home. I got to go over to Kyle's joint, and we got to eat rotisserie chicken.
Rotisserie chicken and watch Game of Thrones. I think that's a good way to do it.
You see, it's a universal thing, watching the Thrones. And
I think you, me, Maurice, and Ike should. I would love to watch Game of Thrones with the four of us together.
Well, we have started a Game of Thrones fantasy league.
We did
the draft earlier in the week. Here were the results of that. It was me, Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, and Handsome Hank. There are your rules. We did five tiers, so each of us now has five Game of Thrones characters. What we want is, for, I guess, the best thing that we can do is for them to come back from the dead, which has been happening a little bit, you know, and we don't want them to get killed, and we have to talk about that in just a second here. Dave's team goes Snow, risen from the dead. I get no points for that since it's already happened. Dario, who is Daenerys's fella.
Lover.
Bedmate, yes. Osha, who I have no recollection of who that is.
I think that's the young lady
the
wildling, who's now in a castle with Ramsay Bolton.
Right. Yeah, and she's got the crazy hair. Yeah. The Hound, who we haven't seen. This was a risky play here by Damashek, but I don't know.
I like it though. I like the pick.
He may come back. We haven't seen him in forever. And then Umber is the guy who delivered. Small John Umber is the guy who brought Osha and Rickon. Rickon Stark to Ramsay.
Right.
Handsome. What do you
think? I'm
going to
give you a draft grade. I'm going to give you a B minus.
B minus. All right.
Yep.
Okay. Fair. Tough, but fair.
I have the Mother of Dragons, and along with the Mother of Dragons comes three dragons. That's the best draft.
I don't like that. I don't want it to be controversial going in, but I don't like that you got the three dragons.
They're not
even with her. Why did you get them? If she were with them all the time, then that would be one thing. She doesn't even know where they are.
That's not my problem. When I drafted, I was very clear. Is this the case? There was no argument.
I think it stinks.
So that's all of those people love to kill. Ramsay Bolton. Again, Stone Cold Killer, great pick in the second round. Podrick is a lover. Podrick has pleasured women in houses of ill repute across Westeros.
This is like a fantasy baseball league in which you draft
a
guy just for steals.
Exactly,
this is
exactly. Tormund Giantsbane, I think, is the big red-headed gentleman. Again, a killer.
Oh, the wildling, yeah.
Right, the wildling. And Rickon Stark is could wind up being the what's it called?
I'm going to make a prediction, though. Two of your people are going to die in the next 2 weeks.
Possible, but I gave myself an
I think
A,
Ramsey,
an A grade. For
Ramsey
draft.
And the redhead are going down. MJD went Arya Stark,
MJ.
Jorah Mormont. One won the Giant, who many people on Twitter, I appreciate right. you reaching out to let me know this. That is George R.R. Martin named him that as a Giants fan. One won as in 11
Phil
for Phil Sims.
And
his
he's
favorite
a Giant.
Football team. Yes.
So that, all that works out.
That's awesome. You're in gray, Joy. I don't know who that is. Howlin' Reed. I don't know who that is either. Ike went Sansa Stark, Olenna Tyrell, the old Tyrell.
Right.
Grey Worm, Yara Greyjoy. And Ghost, the dog, and Ike, as a
Ike's
reminder,
draft.
Has never seen the show.
Right, Ike's never seen the show. Ike's draft, I think that is the equivalent of the draft day movie, whatever Kevin Costner's character was. There was not a whole lot of thought that went into Ike's.
Well, draft. He was advised by one of our meisters, John Rydell, behind the glass. We'll see how it works out. Follow along.
Whoa, what's that?
Surprise game show time.
The fan is the Game of Thrones
Oh, yeah.
Game is set aside now for the surprise game
Real
show.
Life
we
surprise
did this
game
a week
show.
Ago. It was me. It was Bucky Brooks. It was Chris Wessling. It was NFL trivia based. And who won that one, Sully? I forget.
That would be Dave Damashek.
Thank you.
Yeah, it helps to produce your own show.
I didn't
up.
Know.
No.
Did I know,
no, no,
Sully?
No, no. There was a lot
Shame
of people trying to say that on Twitter, and I went to his defense. I batted
Thank
for
you,
Shaq.
Yeah, well, that's because he paid you. That's because he paid you, Sully.
Oh,
no
well, I haven't seen
you.
That yet. I haven't seen that check yet.
Right. Whether you know it or not, Sully, by you publicly defending me online saved your job for another week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, what's today's question?
All right,
we'll go back
question.
And forth, handsome, and
How
I'll
many
bounce.
People are back there? I can see Black Tie back there. Sully, are you first string or third string?
I'm, like, not even on the roster. Right. Okay. So this has NFL teams in it, but this is the Big Four since we're also in the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs. So can you name teams from the MLB, NBA, NFL, and NHL whose team name is four letters long and you only have 20 seconds to answer?
20 seconds? Yep. That's a luxurious amount of time. Does it include the S?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And
I should win this.
Check.
Yeah, you
go.
Should do.
Heat.
Yep.
Jets.
Yep.
Red.
Which Jets?
I was saving the other one for the next round.
He doesn't know. That's not fair.
What do you mean?
The Rams.
Yep.
Go ahead. Take your.
We're done with the NFL.
Take your freebie.
The second set of Jets.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Socks is not acceptable, right?
No.
I'm just buying myself
man,
time.
That's where I was going next.
Uh-oh. I'm in some
Come
trouble
on, Dave.
Here.
You can't just you got, can't string it along like that,
baseball,
Dave. You
baseball. Mets.
Yeah.
Woo!
Have we done Reds?
I did.
Nope.
Wait, I didn't say Reds?
Nope. You said Heat.
Yeah! Back to you, Dave. Let's see it.
Okay. Now I'm starting to write them down.
I know, me too.
Yeah, but you don't have any left.
Well, that doesn't matter.
I have one holstered now, but I'm not ready to say it out loud yet.
You have 5 seconds. You better say it out loud.
Nets.
Yeah.
Back Mets. To you, handsome.
Mets.
Nets.
Mets.
I said Mets.
You already said
Mets. No, ding that. That's not correct.
He's out.
He's not out. He's not out.
Yeah, he's
out.
Okay, we want
he
to keep going.
Attention. I thought I said Reds too, by the way, but all right.
Okay.
Well, you kind of had that many goes. We've only got around.
All right. Hey, go.
Handsome needs to come up with one. Who went first? Me?
You.
Oh, so Handsome gets one or else I am the victor once again.
I was ready to ask him since he said something you said.
Trying to travel around the sports America.
5 seconds.
How many more are there?
Two, three, handsome, four, five.
Nets!
I said the Nets, you creep.
Yep.
Why is that no. getting a ding when he says the ones that
no.
I already
We're
said?
We're asking him. He's done. He's done. He said twice.
Wait a second. Yep.
The Jazz is what I meant to say.
Okay, I heard somebody back there say Jazz.
Yes. Yeah. So.
I win. Play
you win.
My victory.
I just said
exactly.
Jazz. It's your go.
No, Shaq wins. Shaq wins.
What about the Jazz?
Shaq wins.
Okay, so the two NBA teams you missed, yes, the Jazz, Phoenix Suns.
Ah!
MLB, Chicago Cubs. Come on, guys. Best team in baseball right now.
This is humiliating.
And the Tampa Bay Rays. No more Devil Rays.
Oh,
just
okay.
The Rays.
That's
the NHL, the Minnesota Wild.
My most hated name in sports. How did I forget to include that one? All right, listen.
Good game,
I'll tell
man.
You
good
what.
Good job, fellas.
That was a fun one.
I tell you what,
one.
when the bright lights are on up.
That's it.
It's a lot harder.
You had to take notes or else, I mean, he lost because he named two of your teams. So.
I'll tell you something. It's a Handsome just said it, you know. Yep. You guys can sit behind the glass.
Yeah, fine for you back there. The lights are off.
And relax right. And come, oh, how are they forgetting? Because
fine.
Very hard.
Fine. Next one, I could step in front of the glass and play with you guys.
Oh, now after you're the host with, and a player.
Yeah.
After you come up
after
with
you
the
come
questions.
Up with
correct.
The questions.
I kind of like the idea of giving Sully, like, all right, you get to come up with the subject, but then you have to come in
you
here
have
and
to
do
come
it.
In here and
yep.
Answer.
That's fine.
I think that
balls in the NFL.
Yeah, it might not.
Balls in the NFL. It's over.
Vols in the NFL. All right, well, listen, we'll do that one at another time.
Another day.
And now we've started, we pitched one segment, Elephant in the Room. We started what I think is going to be a gangbuster segment with some of our favorite NFL football players until the season starts, Killing Time, with Kyle Long. We thank him, and there will be a lot more with Kyle Long from our sit-down over the sushi in the coming weeks here. And now let's round it up with something that we're calling our moment of pigskin. I'll look back at a real
Can
NFL
say it
football
again.
Game.
Say it again.
Unironic pig moment of pigskin.
How about this? The Zen Zone.
Ooh.
A little better, I think.
Maybe.
A lot better.
Moment of Zen Zone.
Not moment of, just...
Yeah, but we steal, we're blatantly taking
Let's go into the Zen Zone.
I like the music. I know that much. So, listen, to help you bide your time, sort of the methadone as you're trying to make your way through life.
Right.
Now that you're off the horse, you know, you'll get back on that horse. Your addiction will pick back up come September.
Yep.
In the meantime, let's all remind ourselves why we love football by looking at an NFL football game. Take it away, Handsome, because Helly started off here, and you're a Dolphins
fan. Still
looking
for points.
It's the Dolphins and the Skins, week one, 2015.
That was the one thing Jordan Cameron did all last season for the Dolphins.
That's all he's done since about 2012.
Right.
And in between, he's been hyped as potentially. Oh, by the way, I have to apologize to the listener. I did want to say, this is probably, I hear you, we've been doing an audio-only podcast to start the week for the last couple of months here. I hope you'll bear with us here.
Why don't we call the plays as well?
I like it. So, all right, here we go, Handsome. We could also listen to the original broadcast, although I can't hear who's calling the action today. But this is
all right, Tannehill dropping back again. Tries to do almost exactly the same thing. It's Greg Jennings.
Can I tell you
By
something?
Coincidence, the only thing Greg Jennings did last season.
This could become a recurring theme on just this drive. There were under 2 minutes left in the first half. It's currently 10-0 DC at home. Tannehill trying to put something together. A cheap shot there by Potroast at the knees of Ryan Tannehill. One thing that jumps out at me, Handsome, as ugly, I mean, it should be hideous, the combo
of maroon
and gold
and yeah.
Orange and turquoise,
it works.
But it looks great.
Well, you know what? So reminiscent of those Super Bowls they played against each other as well. A little. Obviously, the Dolphins have changed a bit since then.
Super Bowl VII.
That was – that. If you just called up on NFL Game Pass, 70% of the Dolphins' offensive plays, that's it. It's Ryan Tannehill has about a second and a half to make a throw, doesn't make a throw, gets sacked.
They are at the 30-yard line.
Here it is again.
Second
Same
and 11.
Deal. Running for his life.
His famous ability with the scrambling misses a wide open would-be pass catcher at the 4-yard line.
That was tougher than it looked.
It was not tougher than he's an NFL quarterback. He has to make that throw. Tannehill with a strike
to Kenny Stills.
You want to say it?
No, because he did. He had like four catches last year.
Oh, okay. Kenny Stills. Flag on the field. Hey, look Joe who it Philbin. Is. It's Joe Philbin.
Looking a little confused about what's going on.
Clark, now, you right. heard he's not the coach so anymore.
Yeah, yeah, that's good news.
Remember when they fired Joe Philbin? What was his name? Dan? Dan Campbell. I couldn't think of his name, the guy they replaced
him. You'll never have to remember it again. That was in London when they fired him. I was there, in fact.
Is that true?
To watch the end of
Where is Dan Campbell now?
I think he went to the Saints.
Tannehill
overthrows Jordan Cameron by, I would say, 7 yards.
A horrible overthrow.
Right.
No chance. This is an NFL quarterback.
Right. Joe Philbin asked what happened.
Can't we do something about that, ref?
Can we get another shot at that?
What do you think?
Bill Lazor, also unemployed.
Gase, Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry. I don't know about the running game, but, you know, come on already. The offensive
Leontay
line.
Carew.
You should have a dominant offensive line with Laremy Tunsil. Oh, and Leontay Carew. I got to start singing about it some point soon.
Now, I would hand it off here to Lamar Miller, but I suspect Bill Lazor has something different planned.
A little boot action with the fake pitch.
Yeah, that's what Bill Lazor wanted to do. It's first and goal. Why wouldn't you hand it off to a running back who's going to wind up getting a massive
But the play design can't be doubted when two guys went with Jarvis Landry every step of the way there. Tannehill now operating from the DC 3. It's a touchdown,
Rashad
Handsome.
Matthews. I like Rashad Matthews a lot. The Titans got a bargain in free agency. I still don't understand what the point of having Lamar Miller is on the field if in goal line situations if you're never, ever going to hand it off to him.
Well,
it's not like he's such a great blocker that that was the guy you needed.
Fortunately, it's not something you're ever going to have to worry about again as a Dolphins fan. Lamar Miller now in Houston with Osweiler.
Do you remember how this game ended, Dave?
I remember the final score was 17-10.
So here's what happens. Our friend, Jarvis Landry.
It's a touchdown, by the way, so now it is DC 10 pending the extra point. Which I am 100% sure does go through. There it is. Look at all the Dolphins jerseys there in D.C. Oh, yeah. Weird.
They travel a little bit. The ended with our friend Jarvis Landry returning a punt for a touchdown.
That's right.
To win the game.
That's right. Isn't it funny that D.C. team goes on to win the division in spite of losing at home to a Dolphins team, that ended up being fairly crummy. Weird. Sometimes those week one results, you feel like sometimes all the assumptions you make in the preceding month are blown up and you say, wow, that team's going to be good all of a sudden. Right. I had that feeling with the Panthers in week one. You thought, uh-oh, beware Cam and company here. In this case, though, it didn't end up leading to anything good for your guys. In fact, it led to Joe Philbin losing his job. Adam Gase is there, and soon football season will be here.
Not that soon.
What do you think? What do you think? Are Pig Zen? What'd you say? Pig Zen Zone?
Welcome to the Zen Zone.
The Zen Zone. Do we like that better behind the glass, everybody? No. Thumbs down from Sully and Bartlett. Bartlett?
I don't care what Sully thinks.
Hey, we can't even hear Bartlett. Yeah, nobody see. I think moment of pigskin is pretty good.
I'm not sure it is, but carry on.
Do you like the segment? Forget the name.
I love the segment. I think it's fun to watch football games.
Let us know.
I've always said that.
Hashtag DDFP. I'm tempted to say also send along future instant game show questions, but you're going to have to send them to Sully because I can't see what they are. Sully, I don't follow Sully. I mean, listen, there's only so much time for me.
I thought you did. It's at Sully.
Follow him what?
SULLYVOL.
Yes, so you can send you can send instant game show questions to Sully.
Yeah.
What do you mean, okay? If I can't know him, I'm not going to follow Sully.
Right.
My time is precious. I want to waste it reading Sully's tweets.
Yeah, but
I don't have time for that.
I'm a pretty good follow, but I talk a lot of Vols, so Sheck doesn't want to partake.
All right, we'll see. Listen, Sheck Republic, you be the judge. Why don't you follow Sully and let him know? Kyle Long, great stuff with him. Great stuff with Dan Helly. Handsome. Excellent. Everybody behind the glass. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you next week. In the meantime, Make sure you subscribe and comment, watch on YouTube, all that stuff. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Watch it. Bye.